Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I remember singing that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," yesterday. There were quite a few people that stepped out into eternity. And I don't know if it was well with their soul or not. But I want to tell you, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. And it is so, so vitally important to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to pray for those dear folks in Ohio and El Paso, Texas, that lost their loved ones yesterday. And y'all can be seated and we'll just pray together. Father, we don't understand. We don't even have a clue about some of the things that go on in this world. We, in a real sense, Lord, we don't even know how the rest of the world has to live. But Lord, our hearts go out to these men and women, boys and girls, who stepped out into eternity this weekend and left behind loved ones, and friends, and families. And so, God, that could happen right here in our city. It could happen right here in Montgomery County, Fort Campbell. So, God, we just pray that you would forgive us for our national sin of abortion and all of these terrible laws that we've passed that are immoral. Because of that, God, a lot of the decisions that we have made as a nation, the hedge of protection is now down. And God, we see things happening that really have never happened before in this country. And oh God, our hearts cry out to you today. Would you return our nation to you? Oh God, would you revive us again? How long, God, have we got to yearn and pray and ask for you to turn this situation around? Our children and our grandchildren are going to have to pay the price for what we've let slide these last 50 years. Oh, God, forgive us. Minister life all over this country today to those that need it. And Lord, I've got a heart for our kids. If you're headed to school tomorrow, or this next week, if you're going to school on Wednesday or Friday or Thursday, if you're going to school, I want all of our children just to come right up here with me. I want to pray over all of you. Just come on, kids, right now. Just come on. Kids all over the building, just come on up here. Whether you're going to preschool or kindergarten or elementary school or middle school or high school or college, our children are precious to us. They are precious to us. The Bible says that they are a heritage from the Lord. And so we want to pray for these kids of ours. And I want you all to know, don't you listen to the lies of the evil one. God loves each one of you. And He has a special plan and purpose for your life. He wants to minister to all of you and use you greatly for His glory. And for your good, God has a plan for you. Don't you listen to the lies of the evil one. Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to lie to you. And he's going to send people in your path that won't tell you the truth and won't give you good advice. And I want to tell you, God's Word. You learn from God in His Word. God will never lie to you. And he's going to give you the things that you need. I don't understand some of the things that have happened this weekend. But I know this, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And He loves y'all. Y'all huddle up in here real close. Come here. I'm on y'all's team, okay? Father, thank you for these fine, fine young boys and girls. From the youngest to the oldest. I pray your hand of blessing on them. God bless them going in and bless them coming out. Lord, make them the head and not the tail. Oh God, would You use these young men and young women for Your glory? I believe You have a tremendous plan and purpose for each one. And God, they'll find it in Jesus. Help them to discover Your perfect will for their lives. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless their parents. Give the parents what they need to be Jesus to these kids. Help them to lead by example. May the Holy Spirit of God bless and provide and protect each one. And Lord, I don't know, there may be a president in this group. There may be a missionary. There may be a preacher. There may be a doctor or a lawyer or a construction person, Lord, or maybe even a worker, a civic worker. Maybe there's a soldier here. God, I don't know what You want to do with these boys and girls, but help us to raise them under the teaching and admonition of the Lord. And we promise to give You all the praise for what You do in their lives. Oh God, save their souls when the time's right. We turn them over to You completely. They're Yours. You gave them to us so that they might one day leave and become all that You want them to be. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Love y'all. I just thank God I'm not who I used to be. And by the way, if I go before y'all do, you make sure somebody, Julie, sings the third verse of "It Is Well With My Soul." Hallelujah. Song service is blessed today. And I tell you what, it's good to have a lot of you all back. Glad y'all are here. We're in Joshua this summer, and we've got a few more messages. Oh, you don't want to miss next week. Next week is the day the sun stood still. And I believe it really happened. So y'all need to go ahead and read chapters 10 and 11 for next week. I love what Billy Walker's always telling y'all. Get in the Bible and read it and apply it to your life. That's great advice. We're in Joshua chapter 9 today. And I want to talk to you about getting free. You know, sometimes we get a little bit too friendly with the enemy. We do. And, you know, Satan is so slick. He's so subtle. He's so sinister. And you know, we have learned in the book of Joshua, we're in a battle. This is not some playground. We're in a struggle. We're in a fight. Right? And the devil has a plan to defeat you. Our children, he's got a plan to defeat our kids. And he's got a plan to whip your family. And you know what? He's a deceiver. And he's gonna lie to you, and he's going to do his dead level best to deceive you. And sometimes he's successful. Oh, come on now. We make mistakes, don't we? We do, and we give him more power and right and authority than he has the right to have in our lives. And we make mistakes. You know, a dentist's mistake is pulled. A lawyer's mistake is imprisoned. A postman's mistake is forwarded. A printer's mistake is corrected. A pharmacist's mistake is buried. And an electrician's mistake is shocking. We're going to make mistakes, right? And sometimes the devil's going to deceive us, and he's going to win for a season. And so today I want to talk to you about how to have victory even when we make mistakes. How many of y'all have blown it? Every single one of us. We make mistakes. Now, the children of Israel, you remember, they're marching through Canaan land and possessing and claiming those cities and possessions that God desired for them to have. And you've got all these Canaanite kings in these different cities. And for the most part, they spent time warring with one another and going to battle against each other. But when they heard what the Israelites had done through their God in Jericho and Ai, these Canaanite kings began to band together. And they united in order to whip the Israelites. How many of you know the demons of hell and Satan always unite for the purpose of defeating the family of God? They do that. I mean, and evil has always united for the purpose of defeating that which is good, that which is holy, that which is righteous, and that which is upright. I mean, the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Let's just call him what he is. He's a liar. He's going to lie to you. He's going to deceive you. And so we're going to look at deception in a real way this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're in Joshua chapter 9. And I want to just read a few verses for you. Let's all stand as we honor God's Word if we can. If you can't stand, that's all right. You just honor God's Word as best you can. Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the lowland and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, and all the Ites heard about it. Okay? That they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. They've united against Israel, see? But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins, torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Don't you just love a piece of dry, moldy, crusty bread? Mercy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We've come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant, a peace treaty with us." Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you dwell among us. So how can we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" And they said to him, "From a very far country your servants have come, because of the name of the Lord your God, for we've heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt." Heavenly Father, would you help us to rightly divide the word of truth this morning? God, would you speak to our hearts? We need to hear from heaven. All of us, from time to time, have fallen and made mistakes and made poor choices and bad decisions. And so, God, we believe your word. And your word tells us this morning that even when we blow it, even when we make mistakes, even when we make bad choices, you can still bring victory for our good and your glory. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The first movement in this passage of Scripture happens in verses 1 through 15. And we're looking at, in these first 15 verses, deception deployed. Deception deployed. Now, you remember several weeks ago we said that Jericho symbolized our battle against the world. Remember that? Go ahead and lie to me now. Come on. Y'all remember that. And then last week we said that Ai symbolized our battle against the flesh. Well, this morning we're looking at the city of Gibeon, and they symbolize our battle against the devil. We've got three big enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we've looked, and this morning we're going to look at the third, our battle against the devil. And you know, he's got a plan, like I mentioned. He's got a plan to whip us. He wants to defeat us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything that's good about us. And sometimes, well, Peter says he'll attack us like a roaring lion. Look at your neighbor and say, "Rah!" Some of y'all sound like kittens. And when he comes at us like a roaring lion, what are we to do? Man, we're to call on the power of God to defeat him. We need the power of God. And you've got the power of God if you're born again. And then sometimes he'll attack as an angel of light and an old sneaky serpent. And he'll deceive you. And in order to come out on top on that attack, you need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God. That's what's going on in this passage of Scripture. The Gibeonites, the Hivites, had heard about all that had happened in Israel with the nation of Israel, and how God had used them mightily to defeat some great kings and to defeat specifically the great city of Jericho and then Ai. And so they come up with a plan of deception. And they come to Joshua, and they've all got these old, worn-out clothes. And they've got worn out sacks on the backs of their donkeys. And they've got these old wineskins that are torn and weather beaten. And they've got old sandals on. Some of y'all are looking at your shoes right now. And they've got some of the worst looking old moldy crusty bread that you've ever seen in your life. And they come to Joshua and the rulers of Israel, and they said basically, "We've come a long way, Joshua. I mean, take a look at us. Just to make peace with you." I won't say it again. The devil is a liar. They didn't come a long way. They're next door neighbors. You'll see that here in a few minutes. But they come to him, and Joshua doesn't. You can just tell he's kind of uneasy. And he asks them a question, and he says, "Who are you and where'd you come from? What's this all about? Making a peace treaty with us? What's up?" And so you can tell that he doesn't feel quite. Have you ever been in a situation and you're being pressured and you feel like you've got to make a decision right then? You ever done that? If that happens to you, walk away. There'll be a new deal tomorrow. Hello? Just walk away. Y'all with me so far? Okay. And so they tell Joshua again, "We've come a long ways." And I'll tell you here, it's Joshua makes, and the rulers of Israel make one of the greatest mistakes of their life. And they make two mistakes. And what they do is they look at the outward appearance of the Gibeonites. When they needed to take a closer look. When they needed to look beneath the surface. You know what? Some of my mama's favorite verses in the Bible are Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with and lean not on your..." You see, brothers and sisters, it's not what we see that counts. God sees it and knows it. It's not what we see. It's what God sees and what He already knows. And so we need to get in on what God knows and what God sees, right? So they're just looking at the outward appearance of these people. Well, they look like they've come a long way. And they look like, but you know what? They hadn't come a long way. They're just, I'll show you, they're just next door neighbors. And then the second mistake, they failed to pray. You would have thought they had learned something at Ai. But they didn't consult with God. Look at verse 14. "Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord." Whew, huge mistake. Big mistake. And by the way, verse 6 in Proverbs 3 says, "Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And then what will God do? He'll direct your path." You see, in order to defeat an angel of light, in order to defeat a sinister minister of fear and death, what we've got to do is pray. I'll throw a little old MC Hammer theology at you. We got to pray just to make it today. Some of y'all need to get out. We got to pray. And when we don't pray, we don't get God's wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, and He simply just says, "Ask me for it. And if you'll ask in faith, I will give it to you." Oh, John Franklin and I were down here Thursday morning. You know, I really have this hot, burning desire. It's what led me home to reach Clarksville. Well, I don't know how to reach Clarksville. Second Mile doesn't know how to reach Clarksville. But God does. And one of the things, and so John and I are talking about that, and then he had some issues that he doesn't really know how to attack and how to take care of. And so guess what we started to do after talking about it for 45 minutes? We began to pray. And you know what God told us in our prayer time? "I need to develop a pipeline of leadership. Not just in here, but in all of our churches. We need to develop leaders that'll get after the gospel." And so, if you need wisdom, ask God, and He'll show you what to do. But you got to go to Him. Got to go to Him. So those are the two mistakes. They looked at the outward appearance of the Gibeonites, and then worst of all, they failed to pray. And by the way, look at verse 15, how sad this is. So Joshua made peace with them. Say, oh no. And made a covenant with them. Say, oh my. To let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. One of the greatest mistakes that Joshua and the leadership in Israel ever made was jumping into bed with the enemy. They didn't realize what they were doing. And now they're shackled to the Gibeonites for life. And I want to tell you, some of you are here today and you've got some major decisions to make. And if you don't wait on God and you don't pray and you don't really get with Him and some godly counsel and godly advice, you're going to wind up shackled to a Gibeonite yourself. Have mercy. And so we see deception being deployed, and then we see deception discovered. Look at how many of you know it doesn't take long to figure out I have made a huge mistake. Right? It just happens in minutes after you've made a poor choice. Right? Whoo, look at this. Verse 16. And it happened at the end of 3 days. 3 days after they'd made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were, and it lists them, Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, Kirjath, Jearim. You can almost tell those are ungodly cities just by their names. But the children of Israel didn't attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation complained against the rulers. Then all the rulers said to the congregation, we've sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. And so in a matter of less than 3 days, Joshua and his leadership knew that they'd made a poor decision. That they had settled with the enemy. They had covenanted with the enemy. And they'd made a promise, not only to the Gibeonites, but they'd made a promise and an oath to whom? To God. And so, when everybody realized what's going on, some of the folks in the congregation said, you know what? They've lied to us. They've deceived us. They're not who they said they were. Let's just wipe them out. And thank God somebody spoke up and said, to right, no, we can't do that. We've made a promise to God. Hello? We've covenanted. How do you say that word? We've made a covenant with these people. We've sworn an oath under God. We can't break. How many of you know your word is your bond? Your word's really all you got. And when you blow that, you've made the mistake of your life. And that's what happens here. They discovered that they've been deceived. And yet they've got to do the right thing. How can I say this? We make poor decisions. And I think some of us in here today are probably dragging some guilt around because of a poor decision that you made in the past. We all made them, right? And my Bible tells me in 1 John 1:9, listen to me, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to dance a Baptist jig right now. That's why I like that third verse of "It Is Well With My Soul." God has paid the price for all my sin. But brothers, sisters, listen to me. You can be forgiven of any sin, but I want to tell you, with sin comes consequences. And some of the consequences for the sins that we've made and the poor decisions and poor will rest with you the rest of your life. They were shackled to the Gibeonites for the rest of their life. Have mercy. Can I just jump on this for a second? Turn on in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Now, I'm not going to chase this rabbit long, but some of you all are thinking. And so we're just going to address it. This is the elephant in the room. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Y'all with me? Listen to this. Do not be unequally yoked. Now, y'all know what a yoke is? We're not talking about an egg. We're talking about a wooden instrument that you put around an ox or some big bull or a cattle. Or In other words, you wouldn't pair up a donkey and put a yoke on his neck, and then right beside him you put another yoke on a big ox. Why? Ain't going to work, is it? Listen to this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? We make some poor choices. And we, early in life, you know, I've done a lot of premarital counseling, and I've done a lot of talking to young people and young folks, and you know, and I talk about this there, and I've had kids in our youth groups over the years say, "Well, Brother Cal, it's okay for me to die. Are they a believer? No. Are they a believer? Yes. Are they a growing Christian? Well, he's kind of backslidden. That's not a good choice to marry that person. You can marry the wrong person. You can. You can go into business with the wrong person. We don't shackle ourselves to Gibeonites. What do unbelievers have in common with believers? That's what the Word of God says. Right? Oh, I've heard this before. Oh, but Brother Cal, you don't understand. I mean, I get goosebumps every time I look at him. You're going to have nightmares when you see him in a few years. Oh, he's so fine, he blows my mind. Well, sardines and pork and beans. Brothers and sisters, we are not to be yoked with unbelievers. In business, in marriage. Now you can leave here mad at me, but you know who you're mad at? I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just passing it along to us. There's some good news coming though. Y'all ready for it? All right. But we've got a few middle school girls. Susan, how many? 12 middle school girls. And a couple of... And so, you middle school girls, they will say anything to you. Right? I know, because I'm a boy. Right? Have I chased this rabbit long enough? I just say this because that's what's going on in the church. Right? Along with a lot of other horrible stuff. And so, we see deception discovered. Joshua, oh man, we've blown it. What do we do now? Here's what they did. Deception defeated. Look at verse 20. This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us. Why would wrath be upon them? Because they'd made a promise to God. They've been in covenant with these people under God. Are y'all making this application with me? I hope so. Verse 21, and the rulers said to them, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation as the rulers had promised them. Then Joshua called for them and he spoke to them saying, why have you deceived us saying we're very far from you when you dwell near us? They didn't come from afar. They lied. They lied to them. Now therefore you are cursed and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. So they answered Joshua and said, because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid for our lives because of you. They should have been afraid. But if they'd have gone to Joshua with the truth, hello? And now, here we are in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do to us. So he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children so that they didn't kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers. Water boys and woodcutters. For the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose even to this day. Joshua said, okay, we've made a mistake. We've blown it. We've messed up. We have jumped in bed with the enemy. We've made a poor decision, and this decision, we're stuck with it for the rest of our life. These Gibeonites are going to hang with us. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make servants out of you. You're going to serve the people of God. And he made water boys and woodcutters out of them. If you didn't get anything else this morning, get this. If you've blown it, guess what? You've got good company. But when you blow it and you make a mistake and you allow Satan's deception to deceive you and you fall headlong into it, let your mistake go to work for you. I'm going to tell y'all over here because they didn't get it. When you blow it and make a mistake, let your mistake go to work for you. I don't know if they got it. I'm going to come over here. When y'all blow it, when we make a mistake, learn from it. Learn from it. And then let God use it to draw you closer to Him. Use it as a cross so that God can get some glory out of your mistake. Let that mistake bring you closer to the Lord. I sure hope y'all are taking some notes up here today, because every one of us are going to make a bad decision every now and then. Let that mistake work for you. Let it draw you closer to God. How many of y'all... I do a lot of history reading, and I loved, you know, reading biographies and autobiographies. How many of you have ever heard the name John Wesley? In my opinion, probably the greatest Methodist preacher that's ever lived. And what you may not know about John Wesley is he married the wrong woman. John Wesley was 4'11", say uh-oh, and he had hair down to his hips, say oh my. Well, one night, some of Preacher John's buddies decided to go over to his house and pay a visit. And so they knock on the door, and nobody answers the door, but they hear an awful ruckus going on inside the house. And so you know what they do? They run around the corner of the house and peek in a window, and you know what they saw? They saw Preacher John being dragged across the floor by the head of his hair by none other than his wife. How many of you guys, your wife can whip you? Oh, don't. And tradition tells us that this woman would, no matter whether he was preaching revival or camp meeting or at a church house, this woman would sit in the first or second row and make all of these horrible faces at him while he's preaching. And yet John Wesley stands head and shoulders today as the greatest Methodist preacher that's ever lived. He put that mistake to work for him. You see, he allowed it to draw closer to God. He allowed that mistake to draw him closer to the Lord. Are y'all with me? Now, we were on the way to Nashville the other night, and I heard this song. And it reminded me, when I'm in Diana's car, now my old car doesn't have serious music, but when I get in her car, I listen to 70s on 7. All right? And this Debbie Boone song came on when we were in the car. You Light Up My Life. How many of y'all remember that song? But I was listening, Bubba, and there's a line in this song that says, how could it be wrong when it feels so right? Some of y'all, that's probably your favorite song. Let me just say this morning. We don't decide what's right and wrong, right or wrong, by our feelings. I saw on a sign down in Alabama last weekend, follow your heart. My Bible tells me in Jeremiah 17:9 that my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We don't decide what's right and wrong by our feelings. We decide what's right and wrong by what God's Word says. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, it's application time. You may have made a poor decision many years ago, or made a bad choice. Join the club. Maybe it is a bad marriage or a messed up relationship or a bad business deal or whatever. Do like Joshua. Make that mistake go to work for you. And I'll close with this. They made woodcutters and water boys out of the Gibeonites. You know what they used the wood for? That these people were cutting? To build the fires for their sacrificial services at the altar. And you know what they used the water for? They brought that water to the tabernacle so that the priest could ceremonially cleanse one another. And Scripture tells us that some of those Gideonites came to know the Lord by being around the things of God. And I want to tell you what, God has used more than one unbelieving spouse to come to know the Lord by a believing spouse. And God's done more, probably in this congregation with Gibeonites, than we ever dreamed. Brothers and sisters, we can learn from our mistakes and allow them to draw us closer to our great God for His glory and our good. Father, I thank You for this message from Your Word today. We needed to hear it. Sometimes we don't like to hear truth, but God, we need it. And I don't know who's here this morning, but You're a God of second chance. And You're a God who went to our hell for us so that we wouldn't have to go there. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for every person here, man, woman, boy, and girl. God, that You would pinpoint that which we have blown. Point out the mistakes in our life. And show us that You're a God that's so big You can even turn around our tragedies into triumph. Oh, thank You, Lord, for Jesus and His Spirit that lives amongst us. In Your name we pray. Amen. This is your time of response. If you need prayer, you come, stand, let's sing. You come on. If you need salvation, man, we'll share Jesus with you. Let's all stand. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.